about that stuff. Well, thank you all for being here today. I'm excited for the message, for the passage of Scripture that we get to study together today. I've been working on it all week, basically the last 2 weeks, and it's kind of in your face and personal. It's been smacking me in the face, at least, so I'm guessing it'll get you all as well. Not a super popular message. It's talking about following Christ, which is great, but we're going to see some men who surrendered themselves completely to follow Christ. They gave up their fishing business and they went and they followed Christ. So this morning we're going to look at that story from Matthew chapter 4. We're going to cover verses 18 through 22. It's a simple story. It's a familiar story. But if we can apply the truths that we find in this story, it'll be life-changing. We're going to go back to when Jesus called four fishermen to be his disciples, when he called four regular, ordinary men to follow him. We're going to look at the specifics, and we're going to break down the details. Probably most of you could quote the story to me. You could get up here and you could tell the story of what's going on. But I really want to break it down today and see how Jesus called these men, these ordinary men, to follow him. That call and that concept makes clear sense. If you're going to be a disciple of someone, you follow that person, right? A disciple of someone, you're a pupil of them, you're a follower of them. So when Jesus called them to follow him, calling them to be his disciples, it makes sense that if they're going to be his disciple, they would follow him. It makes sense for someone that is a disciple of Jesus to follow Jesus. I told you it's simple and it's basic. Our study today is not deep. Simple concept. The challenge, however, lies in applying that simple thought. Isn't there so many things in the Christian life that we know are right? We know the right answers. We have the right answers. We can tell you where to turn in the Bible for this. But sometimes the struggle comes in applying what we know to be right. So today I want to ask you the question, will you follow Jesus? Will you be sensitive and obedient to his leading? And we probably say, yeah, I'll follow Jesus. All of us raise our hand. I want to follow Jesus. I am following Jesus. But let's break down this passage. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, to work in our lives, to mold us, to challenge our thinking over the next few minutes. And then we'll get to the end of the sermon and we'll ask that question again. Will you follow Jesus? And I'm hoping that as a church today, as believers, we will be sensitive and obedient to what God has for us. I pray that these words from God, that this message from his word, that this passage of Scripture will honestly challenge and will honestly change each and every one of us in this room. We don't want to come here to just go through the motions, just so we can check it off our list of, hey, I went to church this week, good till next Sunday. I want God to speak to us, to challenge us, and to mold us when we meet together. Let's pray and then we'll read our text. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity, for the freedom, for the privilege that we have to spend a few minutes studying it. I pray that you will work in my heart right now, that you'll challenge me, that you will convict me. I pray that you'll work in every single person in this room today, that you will challenge all of us, Father, that you will help us to be what you desire us to be. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So let's look at our text. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Let's start in verse 18. We're going to quickly go through these details, and then we're going to turn it back around, and we're going to make the personal application. Verse 18, we have Jesus. We have Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee. And I want to try to paint this picture in your mind this morning, if you can imagine with me again this actually playing out. Imagine Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee. We're talking about Jesus, God in the flesh, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, the one who came to earth to die for sins, to be that satisfactory payment to meet the just demands of a holy God. We have the way, the truth, and the life, literally walking by the Sea of Galilee. Are you painting this picture in your mind? The Sea of Galilee is, if you've looked at it on a map, it's sort of oval-shaped. I don't know how else to describe that shape, but imagine an oval. It is about 8 miles wide, and it's about 13 miles long. Josephus, the historian, records that in the first century AD, there was around 240 boats that would regularly be on this sea. And there was also much fishing done from the seashore. So there's Sea of Galilee. We have Jesus, the Son of God, walking by the Sea of Galilee. We have lots of fishing going on. Are you imagining this? If Jesus was looking for some fishermen, this was a good place for him to be. Besides knowing everything, he also had common sense. Hey, I'm looking for these specific fishermen. I'm going to go to the Sea of Galilee. So he's at a good spot. Back then, the fishing was done in three main ways. This is just details for you, free details. You would use the traditional way of hook and line, or you would have a throw net where you would throw the net in the water and you would drag it out. Or there was a drag net that you would set between two ships. This would be in deeper water, and you would drag through, gather up the fish, bring it in. So there's lots of fishing going on. That's the type of fishing that is going on in the Sea of Galilee. So Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, painting this picture. Jesus, as he's walking, sees Peter and Andrew, brothers that are fishing here. Fishing was their occupation. They were just trying to make a living. Did you catch that in verse 18? And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. So they're fishing with a net, trying to make a living. This was their occupation. Fishing was their livelihood. They're not just hobby fishers out on a Saturday morning trying to catch a fish. This is how they made their living. I want you to get how important it was for them to be fishing, because that's how they paid their bills. That's how they survived, was fishing. So, are you imagining this? Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee. Two brothers fishing. Jesus comes up to them. Jesus talks to them. This is real life. This really happened. Real life story. Verse 19, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So Jesus speaks to these men. God speaks to these men. The Lord is speaking to these men. Are you catching the significance? This isn't just a casual person having a casual conversation. This is God in the flesh talking to these fishermen. He speaks, he tells them what he wants from them. What does he say? He says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I can picture Peter and Andrew thinking, what? You want us to follow you? We're fishing, we're trying to make a living here. You want us to follow you? Jesus wants us to follow him? So there's two trains of thoughts. Are you crazy? You want us to follow you? Then the other one is, wow, God wants us to follow him? The one John the Baptist has been talking about, the Messiah, the Lamb who came to take away the sins of the world, wants us to follow him? Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So Jesus gives the call to them. If you will follow me, I will help you to start reaching people. Follow me and I will help you. I will lead you. I will guide you to make an impact on this world with people. They got a personal invitation to follow Jesus. That's a big deal. He came right up to them, talked to them face to face. Follow me. And I can imagine them, you want us? We're fishermen. You're the Messiah. You want fishermen to follow you? They got a personal invitation to follow Jesus, to spend time with Jesus, to learn about life from Jesus. And I can picture them just, you want us, fishermen? And then I can picture Jesus, this is my imagination, you are exactly who I want. That's why I called you. You can change the world. You ordinary fishermen, who as we study their lives, we understand that they had lots of problems and issues and they were ordinary men. But he called them and he used them to change the world. And in thinking about that, Jesus calling ordinary fishermen to follow him, isn't it amazing that Jesus desires a relationship with us as well? Isn't it amazing what Jesus did for us? Think about who we are. Think about how we struggle at times, how we struggle to get it right. And we have God desiring a relationship with us, ordinary people. We have a God who died for our sins, who paid our sin debt, who rose again, defeating death and sin and hell. Isn't that an amazing thought that should never get old to us? That God desires us? Why would he want me? But he does. And he loves me. And he cares about me. And he loves you. And he cares about you as well. The call of follow me that he gave to the disciples is there for us as well. And maybe you're thinking, but you don't understand. You don't understand who I am. I'm just this. I can't do that. Why would Jesus love me? Why would Jesus care about me? Nope. Jesus loves you. Jesus desires for us to follow him. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. And he rose again for you. Jesus desires for you to follow him. And we'll go back to that thought at the end in the application, just a sneak preview to get your mind working that direction. Jesus gives the call. He tells them what he will help them to do. Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Notice how they respond. Verse number 20, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. Straightway means immediately, it means at once. They left their nets. That's a big deal. I mean, think about it. That's how they made their living. Jesus all of a sudden walks up to them, says, follow me. They say, okay. And they start following him. They leave their livelihood and they're immediately obedient to following God. The Lord spoke, they responded. They recognized the authority of the one speaking and they jumped in fully committed. They followed him. And I don't want us to miss how amazing of an opportunity that they had. And I don't want us to overlook their faith. They had to forsake and follow him. Isn't that incredible? I mean, we're talking real life stuff. This actually happened. Two guys fishing, making a living. Jesus shows up, says, follow me. They say, okay, and they follow him. Imagine how that would look in our lives today. We're not going to throw our job away. We're not going to throw our livelihood away to follow Christ? Hopefully we would if he called us to. But we have these men that he called. They recognized who he was, the importance of following him. And they were obedient to the call. Last night I was finishing up some studies preparing for this. And Andy crawls up beside me on this chair and says, Daddy, what's your sermon? And so I just kept it simple. I said, when Jesus called the disciples and said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And she said, oh, I know that. And she walked away. Awesome, Andy. This is going to go real well with adults tomorrow. But can't we easily just overlook this story because of the simplicity, because we've been hearing it for so long since a child, when really this is real life stuff? And Jesus called these disciples and they actually immediately followed him. Let's not get over that. They were willing to submit to the Lord. In verse 21, same situation, different characters. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. So he finds James and John, and he calls them to follow him. Notice their response. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. They were working with their father. They were doing the family business. For me, this would have been living the dream, working in a family business. But Jesus shows up. He calls them. They leave their nets. They leave their ships. And they walk away from their father, the family business, to follow Jesus. And they did it immediately. As a child, I had dreams of working with my father, a family business. My plan was, we lived on a farm. My dad did body work on cars, is how he made money. But my plan was, we're going to start a business in our garage. If you saw our garage, that's a comical thought. But we were going to call it Gary Kirkman and Sons was the original, but I ended up with three sisters, so it became Gary Kirkman and Son. But that didn't work out. God changed my course, changed my direction, ended up not having a family business at our house. But some of you know how the story went, where I moved out here 10 years ago and I worked on my parents, talked them into moving out here. I believe it was 3 years ago, so awesome. Close to my dad again, close to my mom again, living the dream a little bit. And as time went by, it ended up where my dad started helping at the church. He would help me break down the auditorium, set up the auditorium on Thursdays. We had a great time working together, setting up the church, getting it ready for Sundays. And then he started teaching the Wednesday night Bible study. Some of you had the privilege of being in that with my dad. So we had my dad ministering at the church. We were working together again. He would be teaching adults. I would be out working with the teenagers. Kind of like my dream came true a little bit towards the end there, where I was able to work with my dad. And I was looking back through text messages a while ago. I was just missing my dad. And emotional time to look through text messages. But one of the conversations we had was, isn't it so cool how God brought us together and we're actually able to work in the ministry together? And just a dream come true. I never thought that's how it was going to work out. But God allowed it to happen. And we were able to work together. God knew, and I am so thankful for the time that I had in serving with my dad. I kind of got off track a little bit there. But Jesus calls James and John to follow him. And they were willing to leave working with their dad to follow Jesus. They recognized his calling was superior. What he had for them was greater than working with their dad on this ship. In verse 22, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. They recognized the authority, they recognized the importance, they recognized the opportunity that they had to follow Christ, and they immediately followed Jesus. And maybe you're thinking, that's a great story, I knew all that. Thanks for taking 20 minutes to tell me it again. What does that have to do with me? And I think that you already have a good idea what it has to do with you. But just in case, let's go back to verse 19. Verse 19, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I just want to break that verse down, some phrases down, and I believe we can find a challenge to all of our lives. The initial invitation Jesus gave to follow him was to Peter and Andrew and to James and to John. But I believe this invitation to follow Jesus is given to all of us as well. And I believe you can find that in studying the New Testament, in studying the Gospels. You can find that that call did not end with the disciples. It continues on to us as disciples in 2014. If I were to ask, how many of you are a disciple of Jesus? Probably all of us, hands would shoot up, especially because other people are watching us. But I believe hands would go up all over this room. A disciple is a learner. A disciple is a pupil. And in talking of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, you're a learner of Jesus. And we made this clear earlier that a disciple of Jesus should follow Jesus. So I believe application is clear here to all of us. So let's simply break this down, these few words. He says, follow me. Follow me. This invitation indicates our acceptance of Jesus in the head level, in the mind level. We recognize his authority and his truth, so we follow him. Jesus is Lord. He says to follow me. What should our response be? Follow him. Doesn't that just make simple sense? Jesus says follow. He's Lord. He's Master. He's King of Kings. We should follow him. Jesus leads, we follow. Simple stuff. For us to follow, we recognize Jesus as Lord, as leader, as Master of our lives. He leads, we follow. Are you getting that? You getting that concept? He leads, we follow. Following Jesus means that we recognize that he is in the front and we are placing ourselves behind his leading. It's not, hey Jesus, I'm going here, you can come if you want. That's not following Jesus. Following Jesus is he leads, we follow. And I heard lots of laughs when I said, Jesus, I'm going here, you can come if you want. How often do we do that though? Jesus, bless this, I'm going there. Come with me. Is that what it looks like to follow Jesus? He leads, we follow. Jesus says, follow me. The word follow is translated from two different Greek words. The two words mean or defined are come here and get behind me. Literally, Jesus is telling them, your place is following me. And they were willing to go. Jesus told them clearly, I'm going to be leading. You need to follow. And they said, okay. We're going to get behind you, and we're going to follow you. John 12:26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Jesus talking there, calling people to follow him. And we have Jesus saying, in his saying, follow me, we have him as the Almighty, the all-powerful Lord, saying, follow me. Don't misunderstand. It's a comforting thought to follow Jesus. Because he's all-knowing and he's the one leading. We just get to follow his direction. And it's like him saying, it's okay, I love you, I will lead you, I will help you, you can trust in me and I will help you on this journey. Don't we need some direction in life as it is? And we have Jesus calling us to follow him. That's a comforting thought. as disciples, as genuine disciples, we should be willing to follow Jesus. We are no longer self-ruled. We are to be Christ-ruled. John 14, verses 23 and 24. I'm going to be turning to a few passages here. John 14, verses 23 and 24. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words. And if my and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. A willingness to follow Jesus is evidence of our love for him. We say, I love you, Jesus. Well, then we should be following him. I want us to consider this thought of following Jesus. It starts with a choice. I started out by saying it's at the head level. It starts with a choice. We make up our mind, okay, I will follow you. The disciples had a choice to make, right? Didn't they have a choice in that? Jesus said, follow me, and they followed him. They could have said, find someone else. They had a choice, and they made the choice to follow Jesus. So I want to ask you, have you made the choice to follow Jesus? Okay, Lord, I will follow you. The wonderful thing is that he helps us as we follow him. It's not just a journey that we conjure up in our own strength. He leads, he follows, and he helps us with that journey. And we find that in the next part of the verse. He says, follow me, and I will make you. Have you thought about it that way? Jesus said, I will make you. He calls them to follow them, and then he's going to help with the journey. Jesus is the one changing us. Jesus is the one helping us. Jesus is the one developing us. We know our tendencies. We know in our own strength how we can struggle. We know how we can make a mess of things. Unless I'm the only one that can make a mess of things. We understand when we try to do stuff in our own strength and our own power, we can make a mess. When we follow, Jesus helps us. We can be confident that he is the one that's working. I understand that there are times when we will struggle to be obedient to follow Christ. I get that. I'm on that journey following Christ, and I understand that there's times where I want to say, hey, Jesus, come over here. I want to do this. I understand that there's times. But don't get discouraged. Get back on course. Think of the disciples in the Gospels. Were they perfect? Not even close. We can find accounts of them being doubtful, being selfish, being rude, and honestly acting immature. And many other ways that do not line up with following Jesus. And they were in the physical presence of Jesus on earth. Jesus was patient and gracious, and he led them back in the right direction. They continued to follow, and they continued to accomplish incredible things for God. And to me, that's such an incredible thought, because I know how I can struggle. And if Jesus could help the disciples to get back on track and to follow him and to make them, there's hope for me that, okay, God, you're working on me. You can help me. Follow me, we make a choice. Okay, I will follow you. And I will make you is a spiritual response to the Holy Spirit. It's allowing God to do the work in us and through us at the heart level. So we have the mind involved, we have the heart involved. Jesus moves in our life, and he causes changes in the heart that develop our character. Real life change, not putting on a show or a mask. Jesus changes us from the inside. It's not us putting on this stuff to make us look spiritual and right. It's God working in us and through us. Jesus said, I will make you. This is more than behavioral modification. This is real life transformation at the heart level. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. verses 14 through 21. We're talking about real life transformation at the heart level. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. Amen. We have the picture of Christ transforming us from the inside. And the result of that is glorifying him. When we're putting on this spiritual facade, this spiritual mask, or we're trying to do behavioral modification, the glory often points to us. Look at me. Look how spiritual I am. When we let Christ change us from the inside, guess who the glory goes to? To him. And that's exactly where it belongs. That's exactly where it should be going. Jesus says, follow me. We make a choice. Jesus says, and I will make you. He transforms us, working from the inside. And what is he making us? He's making us fishers of men. And this is a response of action. So it's here, and then it's action. Following Jesus will affect what we live for and what we do. You think Jesus made an impact on these disciples? Big time. They threw their occupation away and they were following him. This means that when we join Jesus on his mission to love and to reach the lost and a hurting world is what we're supposed to do when he affects us and what we live for and what we do. Peter and Andrew, James and John were fishermen. They knew fishing. That's what they did. That's how they lived. They decided to follow Jesus and he changed all of that. They were now going to fish for men. Jesus gave them a new purpose. They were now going to be helping God's work to lead people to salvation in Jesus Christ. When we follow Jesus, he will help us see what really matters. He will help us to seek his kingdom first. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He will help us to care more about what he cares about, spreading the good news. I want to turn to one more passage, 2 Corinthians 5. Should be just a few pages to your left if you're in Ephesians. I want to try to tie all this together. And we'll look at verses 14 through 21 quickly. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 through 21. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, now we know no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And we could spend 3 hours in that passage, breaking it all down. But I want you to see that Christ died for us. Christ rose again from the dead. He offers us salvation. We come to him for salvation, we turn to Him in repentance for forgiveness of sins, He declares us righteous. All of that, all the details going there, creates in us where we should, according to verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. We should be representatives of Christ as disciples of Jesus Christ. And if we're following Him, we will be. Starts in our head, okay, I will follow you. Goes to our heart, Christ is changing us from the inside. We start living that out. He helps us to be fishers of men where we're reaching out, we're reaching to others. And we are ambassadors for Christ. We have a mission. We are all to be ambassadors. We are all to be missionaries. Our mission is bigger than coming to church. Everybody hear that? Our mission is bigger than coming to church or being nice or knowing all of the right answers or knowing lots of biblical facts or giving lots of money or marking off some things from our good Christian deeds checklist. Our mission is bigger than that. We have a mission to share with others, to share with this hurting world that there is hope, that there is good news that can bring people to a relationship with Jesus Christ. We are all ministers of Christ. We have all been given gifts and abilities that can be used for God to glorify Him. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This fishers of men is a commissioning, it's a call to action. And in Missions Month, where we're having missionaries in, where we're hearing about worldwide missions, where we're being compelled to be missionaries where we're at, this seems like such a fitting thought, such a great remembrance. We should always be mindful of the fact that we have a mission, that we are to be missionaries, that we are to be reaching others with the gospel. It shouldn't just be 1 month and done, but it seemed like a great time to challenge us as a church. Are we being missionaries? Are we spreading the good news in our daily lives where we're at? This call to action speaks of using the abilities that God has placed in our hands to serve Jesus and to tell others of Him. So, lots of information. Probably lots of information really fast. I've had 2 weeks to think about it, and I'm trying to give it to you all in 30 minutes here. But let's make it personal. Are you following Christ? Honestly, are you following Christ? Will you follow Christ? You say, I'm kind of following Him. Will you follow Him? I'm not asking you to sell your business and sell your house and just run after Him. But where you're at, where God has you at in life, in your situation, are you following Him actively? Have you made that choice? A disciple should be following Christ. A disciple should be being changed by Christ. And a disciple should be committed to the mission of Christ. Are we following Christ, church? Are we doing what He has for us? Individuals, are we following Christ? Or are we going through the motions? We should be actively following Christ. And what that looks like is we're sensitive and obedient to His leading. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank You for this challenge. I thank You for working on me through these studies. I pray that Your Holy Spirit will work in lives, Lord, and that You will help us to be who You want us to be. Please just help us to follow You and to be obedient to whatever You have for us. Please work in our hearts now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.